Friday so we'd have fun, or as our last text came in from the 816, sorry for bad language, but it's F it Friday. I can always have like a different meaning. Like, there's so many different ways to say like F it. Hey, do you want to go do this? Ah, F it, let's do it. Hey, let's take I-70 West. F it, not doing it.
F it.
102 minutes, that's crazy. Thanks for having us on your radio airwaves or your television screens or your computer screens. We appreciate that very much. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Leggins with you on a Friday where we're all revved up, thirsty, and ready to drive.
Ready to roll.
Better believe it. But I do want to get into this before we get into the, you know, the equity group that's going to own four NFL teams.
Which is insane.
It's just nuts. But your kids are back in school.
They are, yes.
And we talked about how, you know, the cell phone bans. Some of the schools had lockers for the cell phones. You walk in, here's my cell phone. There's its locker. When you leave, take cell phone out, leave, right?
Right.
How'd that work out?
Well, we were having a conversation yesterday. My daughter gets home, and, you know, they always want dinner. And no matter what we have for dinner, it's never good, right?
Sucks.
Right. I don't want that. There's
never anything in the house to eat.
Right.
Just
went to the store.
Correct.
Right. Twice this week.
Been there.
Yeah. Nothing in the house. Never anything to eat. And she's screaming. She goes, I want Chipotle. And I said, well, I have a box of rigatoni, or I have a box of zite. And so she starts laughing. You're like, oh, my God, Dad, please, right? Yeah. And so I go through a couple of those with her. And she finally goes, actually, we were talking about that today in advisory. I go, you were talking about rigatoni? She goes, well, we were discussing what our favorite pasta shapes are. And I'm like, that's a hell of a class that we got going on. She goes, no. It's advisory, and remember, we don't have our phones anymore, and so we're sitting around the room having these conversations and talking to each other. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's very interesting. How's that going? I said, with no cell phones at school for the first week. And she goes, Dad, got to be honest with you. Everybody's nicer, everybody's talking to each other, and it's been a great experience. Way to go, Kansas! That's coming from a high school kid. That's not a teacher. That's not a parent. That is a 16 and a half year old who is attached to the phone. As she told me the other day, Dad, I had 9 hours and 45 minutes of screen time on Sunday. You know what her screen time has been?
3.5 hours.
An hour and 45 minutes now since they banned those cell phones in school.
That's good.
And it's been great. And they're talking, they're having conversations, they're discussing, you know, the best pasta shapes out there. So, which I ask you, which is the best shape of pasta? Rigatoni is the answer for me. I like pasta that way. I don't like the long noodle because the sauce, you know, splatters all over you. So rigatoni for me is that top pasta shape.
I'm going to sound like an ass.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on what kind of pasta I'm having. Because if I want it like macaroni and cheese, I want the elbow.
Yeah.
So that it gets in the noodle, right?
Sure. Yeah.
If I'm eating spaghetti and meatballs, I want angel hair or thin spaghetti.
Mm-hmm.
Last night I made a Cajun shrimp pasta. Fantastic. If you want the recipe, I'll send it to you. I use thin spaghetti.
Thin spaghetti.
But if I had a number one pasta due to like texture and appeal, it's Farfalle.
Oh, okay.
I love a bow tie pasta.
That's what my daughter said. She goes, I love the bow tie. And I said, why? She goes, because it's like on both edges, you get it, and then it's in the middle, you get a nice little
little delicacy.
Yeah, she goes, the bow tie is the best pasta out there. And I'm like, all right, I still go with rigatoni, you know? And so after I got her done laughing about that stuff, like, she's rolling her eyes because she knows it's coming with the dumb dad jokes from me. But it spawns this conversation, which is, this is a really good thing, these cell phone bans that they have in school right now. And I know there's been a lot of people, I'm sure, that were anti them. And I'm sure there's a bunch of Karens running around that they can't get in touch with their kid. They don't want to hear from you during the day. And quite honestly, it's great because I haven't gotten a text. And my wife told me this, and they're in school, so I can say this now. They're not texting us, can we leave early? Can we get out early? Can I get lunch? Can I get this? Can you buy me that? So it has eliminated all of that as well. But more importantly, the fact that she said everybody's nice and talking to each other, that's ultimately what this ban was for. These kids are now talking to each other again and having these conversations. Mac, what's your pasta?
I'll go angel hair.
Okay.
Yeah, I love angel hair pasta. Hot take, Orzo's very high up on that list.
Orzo's fantastic.
I love Orzo.
Do you? I know that's not necessarily pasta. Maybe. Do you guys like gnocchi?
Yeah, I do. Sure.
You
yeah.
do like that. I don't like it.
It depends.
It's too mushy.
Too mushy for you?
I get it. I don't know.
There was a gnocchi we had in Italy with this sauce
now
on
there,
it.
Now, I mean, yeah, I mean, probably.
Maybe one of the best things I've ever eaten. I mean, the sauce was as good as you could. I mean, just insane. And it was actually at a restaurant that Anselmo's daughter recommended to us. She knows what she's doing, not him. He don't know anything, but Julie definitely does. And I mean, the sauce, I mean, you would eat it off a shoe, Dusty. It was just absolutely phenomenal in that way. And so I told my daughter, I said, we come up with some topics for them to have, you know, during a advisory period now, because once you get the pasta topic, you got to move on from that. You got to have something better to discuss.
Yeah. Have them discuss which temperature is better, the cold or the heat.
Cold or the heat.
That'll keep them occupied because everyone has an opinion on it. Everyone can kind of get on both sides of it, or you can do the Mac Morey take where it's like, we're prisoners of the moment. And then that starts a whole nother conversation of what's the number one thing you've been a prisoner of the moment for?
Well, I've never been a prisoner of the moment with the weather because I never sit here and go, man, I wish it was snowing and I wish it was winter time. Now in the winter, I say, I wish it was summer. But in the summer, I never say, I wish it was winter. I never wish it was cold. I hate it.
I do.
But again, you lived up there in Wyoming and had that opportunity, the outdoor skiing and, you know,
yeah,
all
I guess
that
going
kind
to,
of
going
stuff.
Going to Denver every winter growing up, skiing every winter. I mean, I've just always liked it. I mean, the heat you walk out. You just,
yeah.
Mac is his happiest when he can see his breath.
Nice.
I mean, but when you walk
and you
out,
wake
and it's
up, you walk
freezing.
Outside, you wake up, you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, no, it stuns you. Now, I don't mind like every once in a while when it's really cold and you walk outside and you get that, you know, it kind of wakes you up inside, but I don't need that stuff ever. I mean, I like the warmth. I like the heat. I think it's good. You know, it's good for the soul. The winter makes you just feel like, ugh.
816 says, Dusty, you got to air fry your gnocchi.
Air fry it?
Game changer, they said.
Okay. Really?
Okay.
How does it change? I need more. Does it make it crispy?
Yeah,
or
I would
something?
Imagine I mean, it's a little crispier. A little less mushy.
Okay.
I've liked it, and I've also disliked it. It honestly just depends where, who's making it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's one that I stay away from.
It's like that doughy texture that I don't know if I can, but the air fryer, man, I'm always down for suggestions. You know me.
That's interesting. Air fryer with gnocchi, huh?
So the Sports Business Journal releases this information about the Atlanta Falcons getting 10% of their stake to, what is that, Arctos?
I don't know.
ARCTOS.
Yeah, Arctos, I guess. I don't know.
But they agreed
it.
To buy 10% stake in the Atlanta Falcons at $10.6 billion valuation per CNBC. The deal closes over 18 months in two tranches pending NFL approval in October. It would be the same company's fourth NFL investment, joining the Chargers, Bills, and Browns. Owner Arthur Blank currently holds just under 73% of the franchise. This is awfully interesting.
I think this is effed up. I mean, does anybody else think this is messed up that the same group is owning four different NFL franchises?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the only one who thinks this is weird, right? I don't like where sports is going. I know this robot throwing a tantrum. This is AI in a nutshell. It's like a normal human at an airport, though. I mean, this robot is throwing a tantrum. It looks like an airport.
Guys.
But this is
Keenan's legs.
This is messed up. This is not good for sports, guys. I don't like where sports is headed right now.
Agreed.
I really don't. I mean, this Mark Walter thing is going to be Pandora's box.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be the end of sports as we know it. We're going to open books, and especially now having the work stoppage in baseball happening. I mean, that does not help this Mark Walter situation at all. I don't think it helps sports at all. There's a lot of people that believe that the federal government is ultimately going to get involved in this Major League Baseball thing. And if they do, they will be forced to open their books. And I think everybody.
Ooh, that's going to be. That's
yeah,
be.
Right. But I think as fans, I'd love to see the books
well,
of these big league teams.
Show us your tax records. Show us your books. Spider-Man meme.
I was talking to somebody yesterday that was, it's nobody that works in baseball, but it's somebody that's around baseball a lot. And he was talking about some of the conversations with owners that he's had. And it was a situation where the owners, and we've said this before, the owners are fighting with each other right now because you've got all the money that's coming in that central fund that's getting divided. And I think each team roughly, what I was told yesterday by someone, each team roughly got $100 million from the central fund, and you've got payrolls that are under that. So there are other owners that are given luxury tax money and the central fund money, and then you've got teams that aren't spending that money up to and putting out payrolls. So you've got owners that are pissed at other owners right now. Obviously, the players, they're never going to listen to anything that the owners say, and I know the owners are pretty ticked off about that from what I understand, that the players are like, yeah, we have have no interest in listening to anything you say. And, you know, the owners apparently went to the players and the players went to the owners and they agreed like to move this process along fast. Don't nickel and dime each other. Just come out with your best offer. And then the owners presented that one last week and the players are pissed off now because we said present your best offer and this is what you gave us. This is not your best offer. And so there's fighting like that going on right now. But if they force these guys to open their books, it's not going to be a good day for any owner in any professional sports team because you will really see how much money they are pocketing when they're claiming they can't pay for their own stadiums and they're making the citizens pay for this kind of stuff. This is not a good thing for sports right now.
This is a good text from the 913. The teams are in competition on the field, but the owners are not competing with each other. They don't care where the money comes in from as long as it just keeps coming in.
This is partially why I blamed Adam Silver for what's going on in the NBA. It's partially why I blame Roger Goodell for what's going on. As a commissioner, that is part of your responsibility to gatekeep what goes on in your league. It's not just, yes, your job is to make more money, but at what cost? You need to be able to evaluate when that line has been overdrawn. And to me, Silver, Goodell, the lines aren't even blurred. They're gone. They're erased. It's over.
And here's the other thing that's going to be a problem with all of this, too, is that the values of these teams are so high. So a guy like Arthur Blank, who's mid-70s, early 80s, he can't sell his team. Nobody can afford to buy these teams, right?
That?
And so he's got a few years left, so he cashes out 10% so he can enjoy, you know, the fruits of his labors, essentially, you know? And so I understand that from the Arthur Blank perspective.
83,
and all these, he's eight, yeah, so, yeah. He doesn't have many years left.
No.
I mean, they just do the math, right? Maybe you got another decade left, and you want to go out there and enjoy that time on Earth, so you're selling 10% of your team. It's the only way that these owners now, these legacy owners, are able to get cash out of their teams because of the value that's so high. So they're all selling like 10%. The NFL owners voted on that, though. That wasn't a Goodell thing. The owners wanted to do that where they could sell portions of their team because they knew they were getting into that situation where they all need capital. They all need cash, right? And the only way to do that is to sell some of that team. But at the valuations of these teams, nobody can afford to buy them. So they all agreed to sell 10% of their teams. Who the hell knew they were going to all sell to the same damn group, though?
I think the thing that's the most aggravating is that there's all these like nooks and crannies and all these huge deals where people can like find a different road, right? You don't have to, they're all getting there the same way, but it's kind of just like dirty the way they're getting there.
Oh, it's filthy.
And I think that's the biggest concern. And I know that when we watch the game, and I always go back to like Kauffman Stadium, like everyone's like, oh, Kauffman's so beautiful. I'm like, you're looking at it from the field.
Yeah, beautiful from the field,
very beautiful. But inside, it's ugly. And when we watch the NFL on Sunday and Thursday and Monday and Wednesday and all these games,
they're going to be adding more Wednesday games now. They
for sure. Yeah. But like, we watch the game itself. We're like, man, this is great. Get me to football. Get me to football. And not that everybody has to be a Debbie Downer, but guys like Bob and guys like Mac and guys like me and Alex and Cody, like, there's more to it than just what you see of the product. And it's not as pretty and fun as you think. And we know from life lessons and things that we've studied and watched, the biggest destruction of things happen from within. You know, you can use an analogy from a movie like Armageddon. How do they have
it's to how get, the how human race is going to end. We're going to end up killing ourselves
from the inside
from
out.
The inside out.
Right.
Yeah.
And,
no, it's on the way.
Armageddon. Hey, you put a firecracker in your hand flat. What happens? It just blows up. Cup that firecracker when you light it and blows up. What happens? Boom. Right. So from the inside, and I've said this for years now, the NFL will eventually stale itself out and will kill itself from the
it
inside.
Will. Yep.
Whether you want to expand to Europe or wherever you want to expand, you want to add more teams, you want to put it on every single day. Because to me, the perfect amount of football was Monday, Thursday, Sunday.
That was it.
I was good with that. That's three of the 7 days. I'm fine. And it's still pretty much that.
It is, but you also want to keep the game special. Like, where it is a once-a-week thing. And that's what I think makes the NFL so much better than all the other sports, because they're all every day and it becomes mundane. The NFL had that one day where you knew once a week you were in on that game.
And, you know, there's a reason why there are seven deadly sins. They're called deadly sins for a reason. Greed and envy are in there. and so is gluttony.
Yeah.
And when you are greedy and you are envy and you are starving and you put all those three things together,
look, dude,
you will explode.
It's what's going on in the NFL right now. It really is. It's scary.
Four NFL teams by one organization.
That's ridiculous. I mean, like, I'm stunned.
And they ain't done.
No, but does anybody else see this as an issue in the NFL? Do fans look at this as an issue and go, we can't have the same owner of all of these teams? They claim that they're not going to have any say in anything, but we know how these private equity firms work. Before you know it, our favorite sub shop isn't going to be as good because they were taken over by a private equity firm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, look at everything that gets taken over by private equity, right? I mean, this is scary for sports. I don't know what they're going to do moving forward and how they're going to stop this, but I mean, I love the business of sports. I think it is fascinating. It is fascinating to listen and study and read and learn about the business of sports. This is going to be interesting moving forward now because of what's going on with Mark Walter, because of what's going on with these private equity groups buying NFL teams left and right, the same one buying multiple NFL teams, the potential work stoppage coming up in Major League Baseball. And if the federal government gets involved, what are they going to do? And how are they going to try to, you know, navigate this thing? It's going to be messy, guys. The rest of 2026 from a business standpoint into 27, a business, a sports standpoint, I think it's going to be a fascinating ride.
Somebody says, sounds like they need Golden Oak Lending.
They do.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, we've reached like the final boss of capitalism, and we're definitely not ready for it. You mentioned the guys not being able to buy teams. You're right. I mean, what individuals now can actually go out and get a team? It's the Musks. It's the Bezos. It's the Larry Pages, the Gate Zuckerbergs of the world. Like, those are the people that are going to be able to buy themselves purchase a team.
By themselves.
By themselves.
Right. Yes.
Purchase a team. You're going to have to get like Matt Ishbia with the Suns. We mentioned on One Word the other day. He bought that team 4 or 5 years ago off of stock, you know, and now collateral. And now that he's going to have to sell that team big time.
And they've
he's
got screwed. Future interest in buying the White Sox as well. They're billionaires. And
they're not rich enough.
But this is what happened in the housing market in 07, 08. Everybody buying on that speculation, right? Mm-hmm. And all the low interest rates and all that kind of stuff and biting off more that they can chew. And then the bill came due because they were all in 5-year arms and then nobody could afford their house anymore. Now, this is what's happening with these sports franchises. The bills eventually come due with this stuff, and eventually you got to pay the bills, or you ain't got no house, or you ain't got no sports franchise. And so I think what we're seeing now with sports franchises is the housing market of 07, 08, where you have so many people invested in at these crazy ass rates that they can't afford, and then that 5-year time frame comes up, and now everybody's stuck holding the bag. You mentioned Ishba with the Suns. How many other teams are going to be looking at that and wondering? Because they bought on speculation. And I know, look, man, I'm old school, but when the Giants and Chiefs and all these teams were founded by these families, the Giants paid $500 to join the NFL. I'm sure the Rooneys paid about $500 to join the NFL. You could get in the league back then for a family ownership group, but it's grown so much where now these families want to get a little cash out. There's not an individual that you can even sell 10% of the franchise to because nobody walking around on earth has the money.
It's tough. Can I ask you guys a tough question?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to answer it. If I told you that Mahomes would only go to one more Super Bowl the rest of his career, but he would win it, would you take that?
Well, I think if you're guaranteeing a Super Bowl win, I have to take that.
That's it.
Yeah.
But he only goes to one, but he wins it and then never goes again.
Yeah.
I don't know when that happens, but in his career, he'll only go to one more, but win it, and that's it. Would you take that today at age 30, almost 31?
Yeah, I think I'd sign up for that. It's hard for me to say yes, but you're guaranteeing me a Super Bowl win. Yeah, I'm going to take a guaranteed Super Bowl win because there are no guarantees.
I'll take the field.
Yeah,
I'll trust
fine.
Mahomes
yeah.
to do more.
I say that because if he does that, he'd be in sole possession of second place for the most Super Bowl appearances by a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
He'd have 6 Super Bowl appearances. He's got 5, tied with John Elway, Brady 10, Moses. I mean, come on.
Come on now.
10 Super Bowl. Again, the stats that define the GOAT, right?
Yeah, Tom
like those
Brady,
are those numbers
Super Bowl
where you're like, wait a minute,
yeah.
what? And he won 7, right? Lost 3, 2 to the Giants, 1 to the Eagles.
Right.
Mahomes wins one more, he'd have 4. He'd go to 6.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Now, Mac taking the field saying like, well, yeah, what if he goes to 3 more and wins 2 more? Then he'd have 5. He'd go to 7. That's also insanely great.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm wondering where people would lie if I gave you one Super Bowl the rest of his career. It was the only time he went, but he won. and never went back and never won again. And he finished his career with 4 Super Bowls and 6 visits.
Yeah, I think that's pretty damn good. I think you'll sign up for that. Like, if you would have said to us in 2019 that Patrick Mahomes will go to 4 Super Bowls or win 4 Super Bowls but go to 6, we're all signing up for that, right? Yeah. We're all signing up. That history has changed, and you're revising what you think and what you do. And now that he's 30 and you're like, I would expect more. But if you could guarantee going to one more and winning it, yeah, mm-hmm. because you're right. Tom Brady with those 10 Super Bowls, I don't know that that's ever going to be matched. I just don't. And quite honestly, once Patrick Mahomes gets to 6, I don't think anybody will touch that either, because you look at the list. He'll pass John Elway. John Elway and him are tied for second most in Super Bowl appearances mm-hmm. with 5, right? And then Montana, Bradshaw, Manning, Staubach, Kelly all have 4, and then Aikman and Roethlisberger have 3. And so if Patrick Mahomes gets to one more, he'll be second most all time. Nobody will ever catch Patrick Mahomes, because when you look at that list of quarterbacks, he's the only active one even with a sniff of that list right now. All those other guys are a generation at least now removed from the NFL.
From the text line, Dusty, no, because he's already won 3. What's one more? He could win 3 more. Okay.
No guarantees in life, man. But you're giving me a guarantee, so I'm going to take the guarantee. But yeah, I get Mac.
I'm
going
to trust the closest thing to a guarantee that I've seen in my lifetime in sports. And that's Patrick Lamon Mahomes.
And you're right to play the field. I'm just being the conservative guy because I want a guarantee that I am going to get one.
Get
more.
One more. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And then somebody says, "I'm with Mac. I'm slamming the box shut. No deal, Howie."
Nice. I like it. Yeah.
Next case, $1 million. But don't shake my hand. I don't know. I think I don't have to answer the question because I asked the question.
Oh, dang. We'll get Dusty's answer after the break.
There you go. Hit it.
Good morning, Kansas City. It's Ken Walker III, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.